Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
In gospel music, there's a lot of talent, and there's a few voices that stand out kind of, might say, above the rest. At least they have a very recognizable sound to them. And if we went down the list of male singers, I could start listing one after another, and my personal favorite would have to lead with David Phelps. If I went down the female side of singers, this one, it has the power that David has in the male side. But let me tell you, she has the heart that comes through. I love the songs, that the selection she chooses for her albums. And now that she's doing a little bit of solo stuff on the side as well, it's really highlighting that voice. And I'm talking, of course, about Kim Hopper. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I guess you'll probably never get away from Shouting Time and the way that showcases your breath control and the way you hold the notes.
Oh, my goodness. That's one we've been doing forever, and I keep thinking at some point I'm going to get tired on that song, but I keep holding on.
Well, when I've heard interviews and stories and testimonies from, like, Vestal Goodman, they told how she once had a very high, soft voice, and then one day Hurricane Audrey came through, I think, and she had to sing without a sound system, and her voice just like that became so strong, like we remember Vestal. You are a very strong powerhouse singer. Have you always been so?
You know what? I grew up in the mountains. I always laugh and say it's because I had to yell over everything to be heard. But, you know what? When I sang with my brothers, I didn't sing. I had the power if I needed it. But we had such a sort of a Rambos type sound. Hmm. And I was singing, obviously, the high part, and I didn't have to use as much power. But it's like the older I got to be expressive in the way that I wanted to, it seems like that's the way that it sort of turned out, but I'm very comfortable there. However, I do love the softer side of Kim. That's what Bill Gaither, when I did my first solo album, he called and he said, "I've never heard the softer side of Kim, and I like it." And I said, "Well, that's where my heart is." Yeah. But it seems like the songs that we are doing and performing require a lot vocally. Mm. And it's the only way that I can sing them to where I feel like they're coming across like they need to be. They're such powerhouses within themselves. And I feel like the vocals need to portray that as well. So I love doing both. And I don't know, the strength has been there for a while, but I do think that's something you develop as you get older and the more you sing.
If you love the sound of the Hoppers, and maybe you're new to the Hoppers and to Kim, you may not realize all the history that is her family, because she married into the Hoppers. But before the Hoppers, there were the Greens. And Kim, you want to talk about growing up being a sister to Tony Green and Tim Green and well, how all that got started?
Being a sister to Tony, now that was an experience. He's such a character and has been funny from the moment he was born. We have, my whole life with him, I have just laughed, you know, and that's been a wonderful thing. But yeah, we started as a trio, my two brothers and I, and my dad played piano, and we actually did our first concert when I was about 5 or 6, and we opened up for a group that my dad was playing piano for, just kind of a little local group. And we would open up for them here and there, and it just kind of grew from that. And I sang with them until I was 21. I got married when I was 21. So I guess I was probably there maybe a year for that. And we just loved that family harmony. And like I said, we had sort of that Rambo sound, and my dad would work with us on the harmony parts. And so I learned at a very early age how to do all that kind of stuff. And then after I met Dean, our families toured together, and I met him when I was 12. And at that point, you know, he was 17, and I was way too young. But then after I got to be about 19, then all of a sudden the age difference didn't matter as much. And our families were singing together quite a bit, and we started to date. We dated for maybe 3 months and got engaged. And then I left my family after about a year, and after I found Amy Lambert to replace me there. And my family and I are still very close, and whenever we work together, I still do some songs with them. And actually, Tony called me just this week and asked me about doing a date where I would do solo stuff and then work with them as well. And so I love to be able to do both. And I have a sweet sister-in-law, Taranda, who everybody assumes that she and I are sisters, not that Tony and I are brothers and sisters, but I think we do sound somewhat alike, and so I get to sing with her as well, and that's been wonderful. My older brother Tim's been ill for about 9 years and has been off the road, so he's not been able to travel, but they have another guy that sings with them, and they're doing well, and I actually, a lot of times when I first left, I thought, oh, Lord, what are you doing? Is this, you know, the ultimate plan for my life and for their life? Because it was such a tough decision to leave there. But you know what? When my baby brother met Taranda and married her, I said, well, yeah, that was God's will. Otherwise, I don't know that he would have ever met her.
Yeah.
So it was a tough transition, but it has turned out to be a wonderful experience. And we're all very close, and it's been great to be a part of two wonderful families.
As you were talking about meeting Dean and getting married and starting your family there, I know in the biography that was written about the Greens, there were some candid shots and photos and whatnot of you and Dean. Tell me exactly, when you first met him, was it one of those things? I mean, I guess it was a working date. You were both working the same night. Was it like a love at first sight, or did you think, well, there's a possibility there, but I'm not sure yet?
Actually, for me, it was love at first sight. You know what? I say that. I was 12. It could have been complete infatuation.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the fact that he was 5 years older and he was so cool, you know. But
right.
I guess there was just a real attraction for me. But like I said, the fact that I was only 12, he was not interested, never even looked my direction. But then when I was probably about 18, his family had bus trouble, and we were off that weekend. They called and wanted to know if they could lease our bus for the week, and he came up to get that. And we sat and looked at each other that night, and I thought, you know, there was something you could just sort of feel.
Sure.
There was an interest. But then I guess probably when I was about 19, then we became really close friends, and we would talk a lot on the phone. And I knew there was something there, but we never discussed that type of relationship. And then when we first had our very first date, I knew the first date. We were sitting having dinner, and I looked across the table, and I thought, this is the guy I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And I just knew it. And he said he knew as well, and we got engaged in 3 months. So it's amazing how, I guess, through all those years of just knowing each other, our families knowing each other, we got to know a lot of great things about each other and just friendship. And I think that's really a basis for a good relationship and good marriage, is to be friends first. And we were for a long time, and so that made things really special now.
That's the voice of Kim Hopper, and she has a new solo project that's titled I Just Wanted You to Know. What was the street date on this project?
It was actually August the 12th, I think, was the date it was released to the stores. And it's done quite well. I get to sing some stuff when I'm with the Hoppers, and then when I do some solo stuff, of course,
sure.
Then I get to do a lot from that. But that's been a real special album for me. I did the first one. It's probably been 5 years ago now since I did the first one. And that was a lot of fun. I'd never done any kind of solo stuff at all. And it just kind of came to a point in my life where I thought, you know, I love what I do. And I love singing with the family groups, but I would love the experience of portraying just what was in my heart alone, to do a whole album of things that were real special to me. And it was kind of just a something for me in itself. I was hoped that the audience would like it, but it was just a goal and a dream and desire of mine. And it took off, and I had some wonderful songs on that album. Peace in the Midst of the Storm was probably the biggest thing on there, and I still stage that a lot, and it came from I had recorded it, and then I sort of had to live it when I came through the experience of my little girl, who was born premature, and she was in the hospital, and we had a great nurse who one day spoke to me and said, you know what, this is where you're supposed to be. And I was at the point where I didn't understand that she was in the hospital for 7.5 weeks learning to eat, and that was the only problem she had, and the doctor said, okay, this child should have learned to eat. But I found out that that's just where God wanted me at that point, and it was a real struggle. My dad had just died, and Tony, my baby brother, we found out he was going to have a kidney transplant, and Tim's illness was really bad at that time, and I kind of felt like God had forgotten me. But through that song and through being able to minister that to other people, God really restored his peace and gave me a lot of comfort to know that everything was going to be okay, and it has been, and my little girl's doing great. And then after about 5 years, I was ready to do another one, and Gordon Mote and Larry Goss helped me, and we got to do this on the Word record label with Canaan. And it's been a great experience. Got 10 songs on there that I love, and each one of them is a little different, a lot of versatility, a lot of variety in the type of songs. And I'm just thrilled with the end result. And so I hope everybody will get to pick up a copy or come to a concert and let me sing a little bit of my heart. There will be the softer side of Kim, and there will be all the powerhouse as well. So maybe there'll be something for everybody.
And I was going to ask that. I guess the Hoppers probably, just because of the sound and the type of songs the Hoppers typically record, would probably demand a little bit more of the powerhouse, Kim. So I was going to ask, is the solo geared more towards the softer side, or is there variety there?
It is a variety. I've got a little bit of bluegrass on there.
Oh.
And so of course, that's, you know, kind of easy vocally and just real pretty country kind of stuff.
What will I wear when approaching God's throne? No robe of pure white have I earned on my own, and no perfect thing will he find in me there. But I have considered just what
that it sound kind of like country radio. I actually have a duet that Dean and I did about our little girl, both of our girls actually, but I guess our oldest one who just turned 14, and it says, "There's a woman living in my little girl's room." And it's really something that could be played on country radio, but it's just about life and how your child grows up before your eyes and you don't like it, you know, but it happens.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep raising them in the admonition of the Lord and watch them grow into beautiful women. And, so it talks about that. And then I've got some, like I said, some great country stuff. And then I've got two or three really beautiful ballads that Larry Goss helped me with. The lady, Paula Stevanovich, that wrote Jerusalem and Yahweh for the Hoppers, wrote me a couple things. Gospel to the World, which is the single.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ballad. But it's put together in a way, things I'd never thought about. You know, the Lord left us a lot of great things while he was on this earth in the journey of his life. He left us his peace, his salvation, his Holy Spirit when he left this world. But yet, there were little things, well, I say little, they were huge to the people that he touched their lives, and he still touches lives today through salvation and the voice that he's given me and told me to sing, and that has changed my life. But then I think about the soldier that he left his clothes to when he died on the cross, you know, and I know that that soldier didn't think he was anybody special until he received those clothes, that robe. And there was, if you've read in the Word, there was not a seam in it anywhere. And I know when that soldier got this clothes, he must have thought, oh, wow, this really was someone special.
Wow.
And so I'm sure it changed his life. And, you know, he left peace to his disciples, and he left his mom to the apostles, and just, you know, a lot of things I hadn't thought about what he had left to us. But I think the greatest gift he ever left was his gospel, and that he left to the whole wide world, not just to one person. And so the way she put that together, I'd never heard that message in that way, and it was really exciting, and it's the new single that's out right now. A good variety, I think.
And again, that project is I Just Wanted You to Know, and it's a solo project by Kim Hopper. That's out by Canaan and Word Records, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's your debut with them?
It is, yes.
Have you found, and Canaan is a very historical gospel music label, and of course Word is very well known. Has it been fun working with those guys?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've laughed a lot, and Connie and Claude have, that probably 40 years ago or more, you know, the Canaan label was out, and it had the Goodmans and the Inspirations and, you know, all these really huge groups at that point. And they always wanted to be a part of that. And, you know, they would try talking with them, and it just never worked out. And I guess they, you know, Canaan just wasn't prepared to, you know, try to help that group at that point. And we've laughed because they said, well, it took us 40 or 50 years to get here, but we're here now. And then we did the first album with them as the Hoppers. And then Dave Clark came and said, you know, I know you want to do another solo record, and we would be interested in doing that for you. And I didn't know if they would be at that point to take on a solo group or a solo artist when they were brand new in this field again. They had just kind of revamped and brought the label back out, and I didn't know if they'd be interested in that, but they were, and they took a chance, and I hope that everybody would be pleased as we are. Dave and I basically produced the album, and I got that they have a wonderful staff, Emily Higginbotham and Crystal Burchett, a lot of people that have just been wonderful in helping me to get all this on tape, and the great, you know, producers as well that helped with the vocal and musical production, Gordon Moat and Larry Goff, and then great musicians and great background vocalists. And so it's turned out I'm very, very pleased with it. Just hope everybody else will like it as much as, you know, Dave and I are excited about it.
Jesus lived his life to die, then he died to save us. He rose again in victory and proved his sovereignty. Now we can see his heart in the many things he left us as his story unfolds for all to see. The silver went to Judas, his body went to Joseph, his mother to apostles that would take good care of her, his clothes to a soldier, his peace to disciples, his supper to his followers, and the gospel to the world. Possessions that anyone would hope for, no worthy estate that one would seek to gain, but the precious things he had would change history forever, and what he left would change my life today. Mother to apostles that would take good care of her, his clothes to a soldier, his peace to disciples,
Hopper on Daniel Britt and Friends. We're talking to Kim today and featuring music from her new project. It's titled I Just Wanted You to Know. More with Kim in just a moment. Right now, here's The Promised Land on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I don't have the answers to the questions that this life so often throws at me. At times this world feels like a prison to an anxious soul that's waiting just to be set free. But I will hold to my hope, a promise made long ago. If you will trust in me, I'll take you to a
of Kim Hopper on Daniel Britt and Friends, and she's on our guest line today. We're talking about the new project that song's from. It's called I Just Wanted You to Know. It's released by Canaan and Word Records. And Kim, I mean, you, from day one, I guess, singing, you know, publicly or in church at least, you were probably singing with your family, with the Greens, and then that developed into the Hoppers as you married Dean. So you've always been surrounded by the comfort and security of family and other singers. When you first went on this solo venture and started doing a few dates here or there, was it nerve-wracking to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the very first thing I kind of did that was, you know, other than just singing a song here and there with the group, I should say a solo song while I was with the group.
Yeah.
But the first thing I really did on my own was when Mr. Gaither called and wanted me to go to South Africa, and that's been about 3 years ago now. And he wanted me to sing a song from my first album, The River. And I got over there, and the way it worked out, he called, and the group was already booked. And Dean said, you know what, I'll be glad to get someone to fill in for you, and you go on and do the state. So I went by myself. That I was not looking forward to, but it turned out to be a wonderful experience. But the first night that he called me up there to sing, and I looked back, and the group, as far as Dean or Connie or Claude, nobody was standing behind me.
Yeah.
It was just all these artists who were great support, but I felt as lost as I've ever felt. And I went to the hotel that night, called my husband crying, and I said, I don't ever want to do this again. I don't ever want to go anywhere and sing by myself, you know, again. And he was like, Kim, it's the first experience. You know, you got to hang on. And you know what, though? It was a great experience for me. The next night, I calmed down more, and I thought, okay, this is a whole different ball game. I've never starred in this rodeo before.
but
it turned out to be great, and Mr. Gager was so great to me and allowed me to do that. And it, from that point, it kind of took on a precedence that, you know, I'm with the group, and I have no desire to be a complete soloist. I love singing with the group. I love the harmonies. But it kind of allowed the people to see that, oh, okay, she does want to do a few things on her own. And I just have a real heart for that. I'm working on maybe doing a few women's conferences, those kind of things where maybe Connie will speak and I will sing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, that's my heart, is to be able to share personally, you know, along with the group. When you're with a group of artists, you know, as with the Hoppers, it's hard for you to have a lot of time to share what you want to share, you know, musically and, you know, just speak. And so it gives me that opportunity to do that. And that's been a real desire for a long time. So I'm real excited about what, you know, what guys are doing, the doors that he's opening.
I've been in the furnace, thrown in the lion's den, left for dead in the dungeon. I faced my Red Sea time and again, but through my trials the Lord has taught me I won't escape if I complain, but he'll deliver every time. I praise him through the pain. I just came out praising, stronger than I've ever been, flying high up there with the eagles on the breeze of a second wind. Oh, anybody can sing and smile. Make you strong. You might have gone in weak and crying, but you came out with a song. You're gonna come out praising, stronger than you've ever been, flying high up there with the eagles on the breeze of a second wind. Oh, anybody can sing and smile.
Hopper is our guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Is it is your full name Kimberly?
It is.
Anybody ever call you that anymore?
Yeah, my husband, especially when he's angry with me. But yeah, there are a few people, and then I have some real special friends that call me Kimmy. And, you know, not everybody does that, but yeah, they do. Yeah. Of course, my brothers, I've always been Sissy to them.
Yeah.
So I've got many nicknames. Yeah. But yes, Kimberly.
And you were talking about your kids. I know they've grown up, and you said earlier in the interview, you said something about the song. There's a woman living in my
little girl's room.
Little girl's room. That's a song.
It is. That's the name of it. Aaron Wilburn and Jerry Sally wrote this and brought it to me probably, gosh, at least a year before I recorded. And I said, Aaron, hang on to this for me until, you know, I get everything settled and start recording.
Yeah.
And what a special song. We want to do a video on that with our kids. And but our oldest is just turned 14, and she's, you know, 5'8 and a half. And,
yeah,
you know, she's grown into a young woman. And it just seems like yesterday that she was my little girl. And, you know, I know the day is going to come when some, I call him snotty-nosed boy, he's going to show up and want my daughter. And Dean and I are not going to like that at all. Uh-huh. But, you know, that's part of life. But, yeah, they grow up so fast, and it just seems like yesterday. You know, you just wake up one morning and they're grown, and you don't know what happened there. So it's been a great song. And our girls are precious to us. And then the youngest one is 3 and a half, and she is a mess, but they are precious.
We're going to hear this song in just a moment, but yeah, I saw Carly perform a couple times this past year, and most recently at the National Quartet Convention, and she's really growing into a great talent. I mean, she really, really is.
Yeah, and she's become such a good singer. She's doing really well in that field, and she's very interested in all the arts. She's my dancer. She takes ballet and tap and a lot of things like that, and she's very good at that, but she's just very artsy. Singing and dancing, and she's done a little bit of acting, and she just loves all that realm, and I'm so proud of her in whatever, you know, realm of that she chooses. But she does love to sing, and she does a great job. We're very proud of her.
And she's mature enough to kind of think about things now. What do you think she thinks about being, you know, granddaughter and daughter in the famous Hopper family in gospel music? I mean, you think it's pretty cool?
You know what? It is. It's strange. We talk about that a lot because my kids, I want them to live as normal a life as possible, but I think the fact that they're on the road with me a lot, and you know, the oldest one is homeschooled, and they've never, you know, been to a public school, and their friends are usually road kids, and the road kids are all different. They're not your typical kids. They've seen the world basically. They know what it's like to have, you know, a family business, and they somewhat work in it. She helps at the table, and you know, gets dressed, and she's expected to do her part every night. So they're raised to some degree. I think they grow up too fast. But it's a life that she loves, and she says, Mom, you know I'm not the normal kid around here, but I'm very happy with my life and the way that it is, even though her best friends are, you know, in another state. And, of course, we have our phone and text messages that we have to pay for every month.
Yeah, really.
But she's very close to all the other artists' kids. And it makes for a different type of life, but I'm very grateful that I have them with me. And I think I can protect them and shield them from a lot of things. I don't want them to not be able to live in the real world, so they do know what's out there. But having them homeschooled and being with, you know, Christian kids all the time, I think helps to protect them from a lot of things. And I'm grateful for that. But it's a different life for them. But they seem to enjoy it. They love to travel and love to just be a part of what's going on in gospel music. And I hope they choose to do this as well as they get older. But I want to make sure that whatever they choose in life, I want to support them. I don't ever want them to look back and say, you know, you made me do this, and resent me for keeping them on the road or making them sing in front of thousands of people. I want that to be their decision. And so far they're doing what they want to do, and I'm real glad of that.
But here's this song. It's titled The Woman in My Little Girl's Room. Kim Hopper's our guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Seems like last night I tucked her in bed and we said our prayers. I kissed her goodnight while she held on tight to her teddy bear. I stopped for a moment to thank God. Turned off the light and I closed the door. With this morning's coffee and yesterday's news, I woke up again. me off guard. Lord, it hit me hard when she walked in. A beautiful lady that I hardly know was my little girl just a short time ago. And now there's a woman in my little girl's room, and she's putting on makeup, wearing perfume. She seems more concerned about what she's got on these days than she used to. I turned my head for a moment, and she grew.
Tiny fingers and sweet little hands that held on to mine. Soon we'll be reaching out for a love of another kind. Those lips that yelled for daddy time and again will soon say I love you to some other. About what she's got on these days than she used to. I turned my head for a moment. She grew up too soon. Now she's the woman in our little girl. Turn my head for a moment.
She grew up too soon.
Now she's the woman in our little girl's room. Now she's the woman in our little girl's room.
Kim Hopper's solo project, I Just Wanted You to Know. It's The Woman in My Little Girl's Room, duet there with Kim and her husband Dean, and both girls. You've got Carly, the oldest, and then Lexi. How old is Lexi now?
Lexi's 3 and a half.
3 and a half.
And she makes up for 4 or 5.
Well, you're gonna have fun bringing her up. Wow.
Yeah, she's keeping me young. My kids are like 10 years apart in age. So she's definitely keeping me young, but she is our little, we call her the little pistol. The oldest one has always been real mild-mannered and real passive, you know, and just whatever, anything goes, whatever you tell her to do, she'll do. And this little one, she is just a mess, but, you know, she is just precious. And as I had told you, she was our preemie, and we went through a whole lot getting her here. And so I'm so grateful to have her that, you know, I just kind of let her run wild sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm so excited that she's healthy and she's well.
And I know when Claude and Connie sometimes will step back and let you and Dean, you know, do a duet or something on stage, it's always a special moment. Have you two done, I mean, obviously you're married and you sing together, so it comes very, very naturally, very easy. Have you guys done some select stuff, like dates together?
Yeah, a couple things, not a whole lot. We did a Christmas thing once where it was a corporate thing here in our town. And the group, just for some reason, there were people had plans, and all of a sudden it kind of came up quick. So Dean and I went on our own, and we did just some duet stuff, and then we did, you know, I did some solo stuff as well, and that's been several years ago. But recently, we did a cruise that my brother Tony helped to promote, and the group was already, we'd planned on vacation, and he called, and I said, well, yeah, Dean and I will go. And so we just did some stuff duet, and I did some solo work, and then he's got a couple of things he can do solo, and then we had my sister-in-law, Taranda, sing some songs with us as well to fill in Connie's part, and it turned out really well. You know, I don't know what the future holds. I think, you know, we both want to do this for, you know, as long as we can, and his brother, you know, plays drums, Michael. Mm-hmm. But Michael is a good singer as well. But, you know, we're not sure. A lot of people ask what we do when Connie and Claude retire, and I know we have no, nothing scheduled to, you know, to stop. But as far as where we go at that point, I guess that door will have to open, and when that time comes, I'm sure God has a plan. And, you know, we do think about that often. We have a couple people that have filled in for Connie quite a bit when she has to be off for family situations. You know, her family's getting older, and for illnesses and things like that, she's had to be off the road to take care of them. And we have people that fill in, and so I kind of know what that's like to be without her. I don't like it, but, you know, we've learned that we can go with whatever we need to do. So I'm not sure what will happen at that point, but they seem very proud of what we do when Dean and I step up, and even we do some stuff with just Dean and Michael and I. And, you know, they see that next generation coming on, and I think they're very proud. We want to keep that family tradition going.
The devil's been searching, looking high and low, for his keys he misplaced 2,000 years ago. And he's fool enough to imagine that they're only lost. Maybe his demon should remind him he never gonna find them. They've been missing ever since that three-day weekend at the Falls. The devil lost his keys. Jesus took them away. There were three on the ring, devil, hell, and the grave. And he has no authority over you and me. Running to and fro, hasn't left a stone unturned, except a temporary tombstone where he thought he had it made, till Jesus tapped him on the shoulder, said, you better hand him over. He dropped the keys and ran out the sight of the empty grave.
Forbid that you lose your voice, but but if tomorrow you wake up and you can no longer sing, and I don't like to answer the question, but I'm gonna go ahead and do this on purpose. I'm gonna try to guess here what you would say.
Okay.
If tomorrow you woke up, you couldn't sing, you had to choose a different career, different line of work that to move forward in, I might guess, and Little Bird told me you're into this now.
Uh-huh.
Would it be something to do with fashion and designing?
Oh, absolutely. That, and I will say, that's an easy question. When I was in high school, I was very interested in cosmetology, hairdresser. I have that kind of runs in my family. My grandmother and a couple aunts are hairdressers, and so I grew up around that business. And so I got my license right after high school and worked in the salon a couple of days a week that I was not on the road.
And let me interrupt. Let me interrupt right there. We cannot tell a lie, Kim.
Okay.
You're sitting in a salon right now, right?
I am. It's a long process to get my hair done. So
I just thought,
I am sitting here.
But that's cool. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule for us.
Actually, this is the quietest place for me right now, and a place where I can just sit and focus in on what I'm doing here, because normally my kids are with me or, you know, recording this and that, doing all kinds of stuff. And so this is kind of a little nice break. But, yeah, I'm sitting here with Christy, and she's working on my hair and get to talk to you. But, yeah, this is something that I've had my license since I was 18. And so I could always fall back on that, and I do love that. I keep my license up. And you know, I still do a lot of the group members. And when I was on the Gaither tour all the time, I was hairdresser to all of them, did bills every night, and worked on David and Guy and a little bit of everybody. So that was a lot of fun. But, yes, I'm very interested in fashion design and have had a couple of things I've created and had made, and I'm getting into a little bit more of that. That's very interesting to me, and it's a long process, but I've always had somewhat of these designs in my head, and all of a sudden I talked with my seamstress one day, and I said, would you ever be interested in working on these? And she said, oh, absolutely. So we worked for several months before the convention and designed some things, and it's a long process, picking everything out and, you know, doing fitting after fitting and making sure it's what you want and, you know, trying and trying again. But I'm still in the process. I've got a couple of things that I'm designing right now. So it's, I don't know, I guess kind of singers and hairdressers, all that's kind of an artsy thing that, like I said, Carly's into, and I am as well. So anything that has to do with that, you know, fashion and hair and performance and music, I'm very interested in.
Kim Hopper is our guest today, and, you know, Bill's a friend, and I have to tell this, but since you brought it up, I have been waiting in the wings of a lot of these homecoming events, and it's so funny, because I'm a guy, and I don't care about this stuff, but women talk about this, I guess, even with Bill, they talk about Bill's hair, and they'll come up, and I've heard, maybe you were there, or Janet, or Sherry, and I can hear them over in the corner, and they say, Bill's hair looks really good tonight. They see it up on the jumbo screen. Bill's hair looks good tonight. And somebody say, well, Gloria's here tonight. That's why. Yeah. Or they'll say, well, who did Bill's hair tonight? It looks really good. And I've heard your name come up. You've worked on him some. And I think Sherry's done some work, you know, when she's been with him and whatnot. I mean, his hair gets criticized. There's only so much you can do with it, Kim. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, you know what? Bill has great hair. People pick at him about it a lot, because if he's by himself, he doesn't do anything to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's a little wild at times, you know, kind of curly, but he doesn't do anything to it much himself. But before he performs, of course, he has two or three of us on sitting in line waiting for whichever one needs to do it that night. But, yeah, I mean, I've cut his hair and done all kinds of stuff like that for him on the road, and was his, you know, hairdresser for a long time on the road. And whenever we go back and do some dates now, I still usually help take care of him. But he has great hair. I just think it's a thing that Mark Lowry and all the guys have always picked on him about. But he's actually, it's pretty easy to do. It just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. And he's always real pleased when anybody does it except for himself. So.
Well, it's good job security.
Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it?
The project we're talking to her about, in all seriousness, is I Just Wanted You to Know, and it's available at thehoppers.com. You can find it there. And also, of course, from Canon and Word Records, anywhere fine music is sold. And as a friend of mine would always say, if they don't sell it, don't patronize them. Go somewhere else and find it. So, Kim Hopper, this is your second solo project, and it's so good. And you've heard samples of it today on Daniel Britt and Friends. I mentioned the Hoppers website. Do you happen to have a personal site?
You know what? We are trying to get up and running, Kim, at thehoppers.com. But right now, if you want to reach me personally, everything comes to my husband, and he and I go through it every day. And that's just Dean, D-E-A-N, at thehoppers.com.
Great.
And you can reach us that way.
I know you've got a busy tour coming up, and so get back to your hairdresser there. And thanks for taking time, carving it out of your schedule for us.
Hey, I will. But look, before you go, I want to tell you about the last song on the album, which is the title cut, I Just Wanted You to Know,
yeah,
a very, very special song to me. And from the first song, I started out with When God Sings. And through the whole album, I try to take you through all of the wonderful things about the Lord and the experiences and the things he can do for you and just praising of him and just all the wonderful things that he is. And then I got to the end of the album, and I heard this song several months before I recorded, and I thought, that's the way I want to end it. Because after you hear the whole thing, it comes down to, I feel like a lot of times we just go to the Lord for problems and things that, you know, we ask him for. But I thought, through this whole album, I've told you who he is and what he is and what he does for you. And then I got to the end, and I thought, you know what, now's the point where I just want to say thank you. You know, Lord, I'm not asking you for anything now. I just want you to know how wonderful I think you are, and how that just having your peace and your strength of knowing that you walk with me every day just makes me feel secure. And I love him, and I got down to just wanted to say, I just wanted you to know that, Lord. I wanted you to know how much I love you and how much I just appreciate all that you've done for me. So that's been a very special song, and that's why I put that as the last one, and it's the title cut, because through it all, I love him more every day. And I want him to know that.
Well, we'll close out with this song, I Just Wanted You to Know. It's the title track from Kim Hopper's project. And Kim, when the first time I interviewed the Hoppers and you were there, I wasn't sure if you would be a quiet person, if you didn't have much to say. You didn't dominate conversation, but when you spoke, you really said something, and I found you to be very well spoken, and you've proven that again today. So thanks for your time.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you.
What a way to put the finishing touches on a great album, Kim Hopper. And what a way to end a program. This has been Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and Kim's been our guest today. Her new project, as we told you, is called I Just Wanted You to Know. It's produced on the Canaan Word Records label, and you can find more at thehoppers.com. I'll see you back here next time for more Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel, Britt, and Friends.